Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. I've been checking out all of the comments on YouTube. If you'd like to participate in the show, I read every one. I try to comment here and there when I can. If you go there, it's very easy. Go to YouTube.com, search for the Mark Reardon Show live, and boom, you're there. And then you can comment on the show. I'll comment during breaks, and you get to be a part of this show moving forward. Speaking of being a part of the show, Peter Duran is an adjunct senior fellow with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, and I wanted to reach out to him. Thank you, Peter Duran, for joining us here this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you because one of the quandaries that I've had, I'm your classic conservative, and when Russia invaded Ukraine, I thought very strongly that it was in the best interest of democracies worldwide to support Ukraine in this because it would help prevent more war in Russia, or rather in Europe. It would help lessen an arch enemy of the United States, and whatever resources they waste fighting in Ukraine are resources not available to invade Europe or impact NATO countries, including the United States. And so there was a time where we weren't really supporting them, but I've seen a change, and this is what I want you to hear. This is what Donald Trump said, I believe just yesterday, on supporting Ukraine.
We make the best, and we're going to be sending the best to NATO, and in some cases to maybe, at Mark's suggestion, if we go to Germany, where they're going to send early on missiles, and they'll be replaced, and NATO is going to take care of it.
So, Peter Duran, what's bringing about this change? Because earlier we didn't see a lot of excitement from the Trump administration about supporting Ukraine. Now it seems like that support is growing. What's changed?
Well, what you described initially was the definition of peace through strength. The only problem is that Vladimir Putin was playing a very different kind of game with Trump. And for the last 6 months, since the start of his administration, Donald Trump has been giving Putin the benefit of the doubt. And today, Putin, well, he ran out of road. So what happened today was major. Essentially, Trump threw down the gauntlet against Vladimir Putin. He threw down the gauntlet against these tactics of delay he's been seeing from the Russians. Two big points that are going to be game changers. Yes, there is going to be a major deal with NATO whereby Trump sets up a win-win-win. Ukraine gets the weapons it needs to defend itself. Europe supplies those weapons and then buys them from the United States. Taxpayers are not going to be footing the bill. American industry is going to benefit. And also, Trump added a twist, and this is a big one. It blew Putin's hair back, what little he has left. It says in 50 days, think about it, in 50 days, Putin has got to either make a deal or he's going to face major economic consequences. No one's going to buy his oil and gas due to something Trump calls secondary tariffs. These are all major moves. Putin was not expecting them. It shows that Trump is clearly tired of playing games with Putin, and he's going to have to reconsider his endgame strategy.
We're talking to Peter Duran. He's an adjunct senior fellow with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And Peter, I've got a theory here, and I want to run it past you. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong. But I'm putting on my political science hat. I studied political science in college and before I went to law school. But here's my theory. The fact that there's a little bit of a convoluted nature where we're not just giving weapons directly to Ukraine now, as we did in the past, we're giving it through NATO. I suspect that there was two reasons for this. One, you've already outlined, the financial aspect. We get paid back by countries in Europe who aren't necessarily doing their fair share. That helps us. That gives Europe more stake in the game. But here's my second theory, and this is what I want your opinion on. By giving more weapons that are funneled through Europe and through NATO instead of directly from the U.S. to Ukraine, does that then create a greater sense of accountability for Europe? In other words, Russia can't just say the U.S. is funding Ukraine, but it spreads it around to Europe to create, lessen rather, the burden on the United States when it comes to Russia's position. Maybe I'm being a little convoluted there, but I'm trying to see here that Trump is getting Europe into the game more than if we simply just gave Ukraine weapons.
And we can sum it up in one word: stakeholders. He is now really making the Europeans stakeholders in the effort to support Ukraine. Now, let's be fair. The Europeans have done a lot to help Ukraine since the expanded invasion really started rolling it back in 2022. But a lot of Americans, especially in Congress, were saying, why is it that we are spending so much money in support of Ukraine? Now, I can make a great case for that. Others have as well. What Trump's deal does today is it sets up the Europeans for success, and it sets them up to be bigger stakeholders than they've ever been before. Now, think about it. You're a country like Germany. You've got a lot of Patriot missile interceptors in your arsenal. These are not offensive weapons. These are the things that can shoot down Russian cruise missiles and ICBMs that are targeting Ukrainian hospitals and apartment buildings, civilian centers. Now you can defend your cities and critical infrastructure with the bullets to hit a bullet out of the sky. We're running low on those. And so and Germany has a lot. So why not shift Germany's arsenal to the Ukrainians that they can use and then replenish Germany's supply with new Patriots, higher, more sophisticated versions of those Patriots, and the Germans will pay us for it and American industry will benefit from it.
Wow.
This is Trump's plan.
Yeah, that's like 3D chess here that's going on.
It's really nice.
Because it's a win-win-win, as you've already articulated. We're talking to Peter Durand, adjunct senior fellow with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And I've got another, I like to spitball here, Peter, and that's this. We heard Trump say, I believe it was today, where he said that we're going to be giving, obviously, through the NATO plan that we've already talked about, but more long-range missiles. And there was a hint that maybe there could be some JASSM missiles. That's the Joint Air-to-Surface Standoff Missile, which has a range, I'm going by memory here, but a range of somewhere in the 400-mile range, which would put Moscow in range of Ukraine. Are we going to, do you foresee the United States in this process providing to Ukraine longer-range munitions?
Well, that's what the scuttlebutt is. So today, sitting next to the Secretary General of NATO, Mark Rutte, President Trump was talking to the cameras. And if you've ever seen President Trump really engage, he's a bit freewheeling, and sometimes he might not hit every single point or detail. So immediately after he was done with his presser today, the White House started leaking quietly, yes, this includes long-range precision strike weapons, as the kind you just described. And here's why that's important. Under the Biden administration, we were too scared of our own shadow. We were allowing the Russians to deter us through their threats instead of calling Putin's bluff.
Good point.
And that's an important point.
Yes.
So the Biden administration restricted the Ukrainians from using weapons that we supplied to them from actually hitting Russian territory. So all of these attacks you've seen recently, they've been from jerry-rigged Ukrainian drones or other efforts. So now this is a major game changer. And I must stress, the Ukrainians have been very restrained in only hitting military targets, unlike Russia's unrestrained attacks on their civilian targets. But more importantly, if you're a Russian citizen, the war is going to come home to you. The war is going to become really real very quickly. When you open your front door, your house is okay, but the local petroleum refinery is lighting up the night sky. And at that point, the war, which may have seemed a long way away, is now very close to home. And you have to start asking yourself, what the heck is President Trump doing? And that is the kind of message that the Ukrainians can send through this change.
Oh, Peter Durand, I'm going to keep talking. We're supposed to take a break here, but I'm going to go a little bit longer because I'm truly enjoying talking to you on this subject. But when you talk about when you talk about Ukraine, though, I mean, talk about a country of MacGyvers. I was reading about last week there was a drone crew in Ukraine that takes Pringles cans and turns them into munitions under hanging and having those Pringle cans with explosives slung underneath these drones. I mean, we're seeing an entire new way of using offensive and defensive munitions in a way that's like, it's like the Amazon or the SpaceX of the defense business, because these things are dirt cheap and yet they're amazingly effective on the battlefield.
I think SpaceX is a really good analogy. I'll leave your listeners and you with one something to think about. It's not just the lower end of the tech tree. It's at the very top. So you talked about jerry-rigging drones with Pringle cans. Yes, absolutely. The Ukrainians have done this with practically everything they've gotten their hands on, up to and including some of our most sophisticated weapons systems like the Patriot system. I've heard from trainers that the Ukrainians are doing things with our technology that we didn't even think was possible.
Amazing.
That's why they're such a valuable partner to us.
Yeah, I saw one video where Ukrainians were given AIM missiles, air-to-air missiles, which wouldn't fit on their Russian jets, but they rigged them on their jets, and they were running them from an iPad that was ducked into the cockpit to launch AIM missiles from Soviet fighters. And I thought, this is the kind of innovation that we need in this country once this war is over. If we're going to be serious about standing up to Russia and China and Iran and North Korea, we need that kind of innovation exploding here in the United States, which leads me to my final question. Do we see that? Has the United States finally grasped? We see the collaborative combat air system. We're seeing this emphasis now. Pete Hegseth came out with drones, a drone video this week, saying how we're emphasizing drones. Is the United States, the huge monolith of the United States, the ship of the Defense Department, is it finally turning into a cheaper innovation as opposed to just billion-dollar projects?
Well, it shows two things. One, that the Ukrainians have their back to the wall. And when you have your back to the wall and you're defending your family, you're defending your home, nothing's going to ever stop you. And if that means jerry-rigging the world, they're going to do it. It also shows that we are better having Ukraine on our team than to throwing them away to the gentle mercies of Vladimir Putin, who wants to destroy them. Those are the stakes for this effort.
Wow. Hey, Peter Duran, we know that you're with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. How can people find you online or read some of the material that you put out, which is excellent analysis of what we're seeing unfolding right now in Europe?
Thanks. You can find me on X at Peter B. Duran, D-O-R-A-N, and keep an eye out for the New York Post. I've got a piece on just this topic coming out in a couple hours.
I'll be looking at it tonight. Peter Duran, hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon here on 97.1 FM Talk St. Louis.
Glad to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Great to talk to you, too. Hey, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I've got about 14 stories here in my stack of stuff. So let me find something. I promise you it'll be worth your wait, and I also promise you it'll be worth everything you pay to hear it. Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.